Come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker, Barnhart, Berger,
here.
Byer, Bonamici,
here.
Boone, Boquist, Bruin,
here.
Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum,
here.
Dingfelder, Chris Edwards,
here.
David Edwards,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excused, Boone, Boquist, Greenlick, Hannah, Minnis, excused for business of the House, Nolan.
The flag salute will be led by Representative Paul Hovey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony today will be presented by Dorothy Dallum, a Lutheran minister from the Dalles, and a guest of Representative Dallum, to whom she just might possibly be related.
Some words of wisdom from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Life is an opportunity. Benefit from it. Life is beauty. Admire it. Life is bliss. Taste it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is a challenge. Meet it. Life is a duty. Complete it. Life is a game. Play it. Life is a promise. Fulfill it. Life is sorrow. Overcome it. Life is a song. Sing it. Life is a struggle. Accept it. Life is a tragedy. Confront it. Life is an adventure. Dare it. Life is luck. Make it. Life is too precious. Do not destroy it. Life is life. Fight for it. Let us treasure and nurture life today and every day with all our resources in the name of all that we hold sacred and true. Let this be so.
Courtesies. Thank you very much for your presentation, Dorothy. Courtesies. Today is Future Farmers of America Legislative Day at the Capitol. I'd like to invite the members of Future Farmers of America to stand. They are from the State Convention in Corvallis and touring the Capitol today. And this association has member chapters in over 100 school districts around the state. The organization, now formally called Future Farmers of America, or formerly called and now called the National FFA Association, is comprised of high school students who are interested in pursuing a career in agriculture and natural resources. While at the Capitol, many of the members will be meeting with their individual legislators. All representatives are invited to visit their display of student work in the Galleria. The FFA members will also be taking a picture in front of the Capitol building at 12:05 today. Set your clocks, and representatives are invited to join them. It's a pleasure to have you all here today. Thank you for coming. Representative Dallum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the distinct honor of introducing not one, but two pages from House District 59 and the City of the Dalles. The first is Britta Myers. She's the daughter of Dave and Donna Myers. She's 12 years old, grade 7, attends the Dalles Middle School. Britta is interested in cross-country, track, reading history, and playing the piano. Her career goals, she says, are unknown at this time. The next page is Brenna Myers. And Britta, you can stay standing if you'd like. Brenna is also from the Dalles. Her parents are also Dave and Donna Myers. She's also age 12, in grade 7, attends the Dalles Middle School. She's interested in cross-country track, reading history, and playing the piano, and says her career goals are unknown at this time. I know these two girls as well as any pages I have known, and I think their career goals are to be cherry farmers in the Dalles. Would you welcome with me Brenna and Britta Myers and their little sister Louisa, who is here somewhere. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to welcome two outstanding pages from my district. First is Natalie Nickel. And Natalie is 12 years old. She is in the 7th grade at St. Ignatius School. She plays basketball, enjoys reading, and belongs to the book club, is involved in speech tournament, chess club, Girl Scouts, and student leadership, and her career goal is to be an environmental activist. Next is Jake Herner. And Jake is also 12, also in the 7th grade at St. Ignatius School. His activities include art, photography, drama, writing, basketball, and reading. He's on the Student Leadership Council, the book club, and the chess club. And his career goals are to be a lawyer or an architect. So welcome to the Capitol, and we're very glad you're here.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please extend courtesies to Savannah Bachman, who is an honorary page with us today. She goes to Parrish Middle School. It's in the 6th grade. At school, she does basketball, volleyball, and also jazz band. And she told me that unlike the sheet here, which said she wanted to be a tax attorney when she grew up, she actually wants to be a journalist. So if you get a chance, you might visit with her about your experiences with the journalists in the Capitol, because we all have them. She also talks about going to NYU or Cal. I'm planning on working on her to maybe consider the University of Oregon Journalism School a little bit later today.
Thank you, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I have two courtesies with your indulgence today. The first is an honorary page today, Rebecca Westcott. She's in the 6th grade at Parrish Middle School. She enjoys reading, volleyball, softball, basketball, and band. She's in the jazz band and the power program. Her career goals are interesting. She wants to be a tax attorney. Imagine, it warms my heart after 3 sessions in the Revenue Committee to see a young lady who actually wants to be a tax attorney. And she wants to go to college in California, Massachusetts, or an Ivy League college. And she warmed my heart again when I asked her which Ivy League college. She said Columbia. Of course, my son went to Columbia, and Columbia is the Ivy League college for me. So I'd like you to welcome Rebecca Westcott to the Capitol. Also, on the side aisle, I'd like to introduce to you my colleagues, Karina Lemons. Karina is the chair of the Salem-Keizer School Board, as she so eloquently put it, in charge of 40,000 students a day in this state. Big job, and she is able and capable. I can tell you she is a city resource. She has raised more funds for more things in my community than any single person. She's a force of nature, a dynamo, and I'm very, very proud to count her as a friend. So please welcome her to the Capitol.
Welcome, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 2 courtesies as well. I would like your help in extending courtesies of the House to Karen Cunningham, a member of the Beaverton School Board, who's in the rear gallery. We thank her for her service. And I also have the honor of an intern who's joining us today. Ellen Pearson is here on spring break. She's a kindergartner at Fairgrove Elementary, and she's an experienced activist, having testified before Senator Westland's committee. So please extend your welcome to her, too. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the honor today of introducing Brianna Munger. Brianna, could you please stand up? Brianna is the constituent of Representative Donna Nelson, and it's my honor to stand in place of Donna and welcome you today, Brianna, to the legislative session. Brianna's hometown is McMinnville. She is the daughter of Brandy Munger. She is 12 years old in the sixth grade, and Brianna's homeschooled. Her favorite school activities are art, reading, writing stories, and working on the computer. And in school, she her extracurricular activities, traveling, soccer, and she also is a peace activist. Her career goals are in writing, being a pro soccer player, something that's dear to my heart, a geologist, or an artist. Welcome today to the Capitol, Brianna, and thank you for joining us. And I also would like to salute all of the FFA students that are in the Capitol today. These are tremendous student leaders that will grow to be Oregon's future leaders, and thank you very much for sharing your time with us.
Further courtesies? Messages from the governor? Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform that he has signed Senate Bill 89 and 269.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports, propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 5014 relating to financial administration of the Department of Consumer and Business Services and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2026 relating to taxation of military personnel and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 23 relating to funding for collection of debt and bankruptcy proceedings prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2053 relating to utility fees. House Bill 2062 relating to all-terrain vehicle helmet requirements. House Bill 2093 relating to states of proceedings. House Bill 2124 relating to administrative child support program. House Bill 2189 relating to child abuse. House Bill 2255 relating to employment discrimination based on employee taking wage-related actions. House Bill 2311 relating to interest on criminal judgments declaring an emergency. House Bill 2371 relating to emergency plans that provide for safety of persons receiving services from certain facilities when faced with threat of imminent danger. House Bill 2438 relating to vehicle dealers. House Bill 2509 relating to use of electronic signaling devices. House Bill 2567 relating to tires with retractable studs. House Bill 2744 relating to alcoholic beverages. House Bill 2773 relating to task force on school nurses and declaring an emergency.
Bills read a second time are passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk will read the first bill in short summary.
House Bill 2973 relating to forest smoke management and declaring an emergency expands forest smoke management programs.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2973. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nelson, how do you vote? Nelson votes aye. Representative Lim votes aye. Representative Flores, how do you vote? Flores votes no. House Bill 2973, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
House Bill 2318, relating to tax court mediation procedures, modifies period for which mediation may be attempted to resolve tax court appeals prior to assignment to magistrate division.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2318. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Barnhart votes aye. House Bill 2318, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Question now arises upon third. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2181, relating to juvenile jurisdiction.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2181A. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring to you today House Bill 2181 with a unanimous vote from your House Committee on Human Services and Women's Wellness. Currently, Oregon statute does not specify a time period when the legal jurisdiction of DHS should end in the cases where a child has been reunified with their parents after being removed and placed in foster care. This has created some difficulty both for the department and for families who wonder, how long will it take before I get authority over my children back and stop having DHS be part of my life? There are many children, this impacts many children in Oregon. Many of the children that go into foster care are reunited with their families after leaving foster care, approximately 64% of those children. This change will likely increase the number of parents who are able to obtain full legal custody of their children, seek medical care, make decisions about their education in a more timely kind of a way. What this bill does is requires DHS to retain custody and supervision of the child for 6 months after the children have been reunified with their parents. Should the court determine that it needs to be extended past that time, the court can do so. The court and DHS, if they can demonstrate that it's not necessary, can also terminate before that time. But it does mandate that in most cases that supervision will continue for an additional 6 months. There were some concerns expressed in the committee about child safety. Amendments have come back, and those are addressed here. And the Juvenile Rights Project removed their concerns about the bill at that time. House Bill 2181 will be helpful in reunifying families, and I hope that you will give it your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Krummel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if the carrier would yield to a question that I didn't pose to her.
Question
earlier.
Of the carrier. Does Carrie yield?
Yes, she does.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. Was there any discussion in committee as to whether or not the period of 6 months should be up to 6 months, or that it should be right at 6 months?
Initially, the bill as written was for 45 days. There was concern about providing enough time, and this really is, let me check with my administrator for a second. And under this bill, the court and DHS have the authority to shorten that amount of time from 6 months if DHS can demonstrate that and the court approves.
Further question, Mr. Chair?
Further question of Carrie, or does Carrie yield?
Yes, she does.
She does.
Thank you. Representative, currently, when DHS pulls a child out of a home and puts them into foster care, and then for whatever the period of time is, doesn't matter how long it is, and then returns the child to the home, it is the practice of DHS to then bill the family for custodial care, sometimes completely throwing the family into financial disarray. Was this discussed in relation to this bill at all? And whether or not there would be any charges to financial charges to the parent or costs to the parents when the child is pulled out?
Good representative, no, that was not discussed.
Thank you. To the bill, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill.
Colleagues, one of the problems that we have with DHS and Child Protective Services is that they have absolute unbridled authority. They can walk into a house, yank a kid out, or kids, take them for whatever reason for however long. Then when they decide that it's okay for the kids to go back into the home, they will turn around and charge the family for the care that the children or child had. And sometimes, as the case with one of my constituents, throw them into complete financial disarray. This family has been harmed, and actually the reason for pulling the children out were completely unfounded. So not only did they lose their children for a period of time, they also were in a situation where they've had wages garnished and other things. I'm also concerned because the representative in the response to my first question stated that the DHS can shorten that time frame. But that's not what the bill says. The language on page 1 at line 21 says, but the ward has been placed for a period of six consecutive months in the physical custody of the parent or a person who was appointed the ward's legal guardian prior to placement of the ward in the legal custody of the department. They're saying it has to be 6 months. It's not up to 6 months. It doesn't say in here that the department, unless I missed it somewhere else in the bill, it doesn't say that the department can shorten the time frame. It says 6 months. With the way this is constructed and the absolute unbridled power that these caseworkers already have, and, you know, I would say, and you'll hear me say this more on this floor, if the charge of Child Protective Services is to keep families together, they have a real funny way of showing it. And it's not necessarily the department's fault, but part of it may be our fault with the statutes and how we have passed them. We need to clean this agency up, and we need to clean up the language around these things. I'm going to vote no on this. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gelser, do you wish to close?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent of this bill, and I appreciate the concerns that the good representative raised, the tenor of the conversation that we had was the concern about child safety if they are going back into a home being automatically terminated after 45 days. While there are certainly circumstances in any agency or any program where things go wrong and they are inappropriate and they go terribly wrong at that time, the fact is that in Oregon, if you are a small child and you are abused or tortured, the level of abuse that you must reach to be removed from your home is very high. It is very important that when we are returning children to places where previously substantiated allegations of abuse and neglect have been found, that there is appropriate supervision. That is why this bill was changed in committee from 45 days to 6 months in order to ensure that our children are safe. Ultimately, our greatest responsibility is to protect our children, to speak up for them. They can't speak for themselves, and they often count on us to do that. In terms of the length of time, it does not, a court, DHS could go in and go to the court and petition to have that release done sooner. This is what requires that the report to be made. It's also important to note that DHS, when they came with this request, was for 45 days. It was after discussion with the committee that it was moved to 6 months. This is a bill about protecting children, about keeping them safe. There is very little else that we can do as this body than to keep our children safe. This deserves your aye vote, and I hope that you will vote yes. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2181A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials, and resolutions. The clerk will read the resolution.
HCR 5, commending health care providers for efforts to ensure that military personnel obtain medical care.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of House Concurrent Resolution Number 5. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, TRICARE is the Department of Defense program which provides health care to the state's National Guard, Reserve, and active duty service members, their families, as well as to retired military members and their families. This legislation is designed to increase the availability of high-quality, locally-based health care providers for the state's military family population. TriWest Healthcare Alliance is the Department of Defense contractor responsible for managing TRICARE in the West region of which Oregon is a part. There are more than 7,500
Oregon providers currently participating in the TRICARE network. We need more, and that is increasingly an important reason why HCR 5 is so important today. Showing our appreciation to these current providers, we hope will encourage others to join the network. Earlier this year, Governor Kulongoski, along with other governors in the western United States, joined together in efforts to encourage provider participation in the TRICARE program. That was a vital first step. The legislature now has the opportunity to take these efforts to the next level with House Concurrent Resolution 5, and in doing so, become one of the first states in the country to take action at the legislative level to commend the providers who are delivering health care through the TRICARE program. Let's have a unanimous, positive, pro vote for HCR 5 today. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution. I want to recognize first the good work of the representative from Yamhill and Polk counties and the Committee on Veterans Affairs. And I will be an aye vote on this because I certainly support the concept. Yet I'm a little disappointed that the resolution employs the phrase, quote, war on terror in lines 2 and 28. Now, one needn't have read George Orwell's masterful essay, Politics in the English Language, to know that language is political and that spin doctors are alive and well in both parties. The particular phrase, war on terror, is, as one noted author observed, akin to declaring a war on dandruff. It's nonsensical, and at the very least, it really violates the spirit of the simple language bill from the representative from the heart of Washington County. And at worst, it's an emotive construction intended really to obfuscate reality, and it detracts from the ostensible focus of this resolution, which is the health and welfare of our brave men and women in uniform and their families. So I'll be an aye vote, but I'm disappointed with that particular phrase. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to declare a conflict.
Representative Maurer rises to declare a conflict of interest. Please state your conflict for the record.
My wife is a family nurse practitioner, and we do accept some forms of TRICARE insurance.
Your potential conflict is noted for the record. More to come.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in objection to House Concurrent Resolution 5, and specifically it has to do with the fact that the federal government and TRICARE essentially attempts to extort providers by not reimbursing them adequately for the services they provide. That in the state of Oregon and across the United States, that providers are paid less for serving our comrades in arms and their families than they are for serving indigent populations. It is inappropriate that the federal government does not reimburse providers adequately for serving these well-noted and well-serving and patriotic citizens and their families, because they struggle. They truly struggle in finding health care, and the federal government does not help them when they do not provide the providers adequately. And so that is why I will not be supporting House Concurrent Resolution 5. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to declare a conflict, a potential conflict.
For the benefit of the body, I've been advised that as a resolution, this does not have the binding force of law and that statements of conflict are not required, but if you would feel you'd like to do so, we'll still take it for the record.
I accept TRICARE.
Further discussion? Representative Nelson, do you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. I greatly appreciate the right of free speech. I greatly appreciate the right to disagree with someone who may have a different opinion than I do. Most importantly, I am so grateful for those individuals who gave their lives or are currently dedicating their lives so that we continue to have this freedom of speech. The purpose of this bill is not to secure additional payments from TRICARE, even though we certainly wish that were the case. The purpose of the bill is not to address the issue of the war on terrorism. The purpose of this bill is to commend the 7,500 providers who already are giving of their service to our military and their families, and our veterans and their families. Please consider the truth of this resolution, and please vote aye.
Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. House Concurrent Resolution 5, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next resolution.
H.J.R. 30, demanding that American Museum of Natural History return Willamette Meteorite to Oregon.
Question now arises upon third reading and adoption of House Joint Resolution 30. Representative Hunt. Representative Scott, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask for unanimous consent that we be allowed a Republican caucus for 15 minutes.
Representative Scott asks unanimous consent for Republican caucus for 15 minutes. Representative Hunt, do you wish to add anything? No. Is there objection? Seeing none, we're in recess for 15 minutes. House will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Beyer Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Bruin Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Dingfelder Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Esquivel Flores. Galizio. Garrard. Gilzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. McPherson Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Morgan Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Riley Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Schaffler Scott, Shields, Shields Greg Smith, Greg Smith Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Beyer, Dienfelder, McPherson, Morgan, Riley, Schaffler, Shields, Greg Smith, excused, Boone, Boquist, Hannah, Minnis, excused for business.
We have a quorum. When we recessed, we were under the order of final reading, memorials, and resolutions. The clerk had read H.J.R. 30, and now we recognize the carrier, Representative Hunt.
Actually, I rise, Mr. Speaker, to make a motion. I move H.J.R. 30 be re-referred to the Committee on Workforce and Economic Development.
Representative Hunt moves H.J.R. 30 be re-referred to the Committee on Workforce and Economic Development. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, new concerns have arisen about this bill since the committee held action. So by sending this back to committee, it's an opportunity to hear those concerns. And as you might say, leave no stone unturned.
Further discussion, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I believe that this body needs to have an opportunity to hear H.J.R. 30 and to have an opportunity to debate it. Now, while the language of demanding the return on line 32 on face page, demanding the return of this object is pretty strong, I do want to say that I think that we deserve an opportunity to discuss the idea of having the stone returned to Oregon. On a very, very regular basis, almost all museums of any repute exchange objects, artifacts, objects of art and other curious and historical workmanship. And I'm most anxious to have an opportunity to vote on this. I'm reserving the right to vote yea or nay, but I do want an opportunity to have a discussion on this floor of bringing that meteorite home to Oregon on some sort of an exchange basis, and I believe that this bill gives us an opportunity to at least have that debate. And finally, Mr. Speaker, I want to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
I was just a youngster when this meteorite landed here.
Thank you very much. Your conflict is not recorded for the record. Representative Lim.
Mr. Speaker, and I agree that we need to have a live discussion.
To the motion?
My motion. I object to the sending back this H.J.R. 30 to the committee.
Please, to your motion. Go ahead.
To the motion. I want to make sure that no one drone under this meteorite. And I want to make sure that the meteorite comes in. I want everybody to make sure safe, not stay in the line of a meteorite. And 5 years, fifth graders, that one of the students in my community sent me a letter asking to bring the meteorite back from New York. And I'm doing this for the kids, for the state. When we have a meteorite in our state, this will bring the economic development in our state. This meteorite is the size of a Volkswagen. It's made out of nickel. And so it's good to have back in our state. We need to have a live discussion. You know, if you want to kill it here, not in the committee.
Further discussion of the motion? Seeing none, Representative Hunt, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that H.J.R. 30 should be re-referred to the Committee on Workforce and Economic Development will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Patty Smith, how do you vote? Representative Patty Smith? Representative Patty Smith is off the floor. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Representative Shields is off the floor. This motion does require a majority of those present. The motion having received the required majority is declared adopted. H.J.R. 30 is re-referred to the Committee on Workforce and Economic Development. Clerk will read the next resolution.
H.R. 1, declaring that development of hydrogen-based economy in Oregon is high priority.
The question now arises on final reading and adoption of House Resolution 1. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure to bring this resolution to the floor. It comes from your Committee on Energy and the Environment, and I'm pleased to note that my friend from Northeast Portland and Maywood Park and the chair of the committee co-sponsored this measure with me. Friends, there are two major power grids or power systems in the world. We're all too familiar with one that emanates from the Middle East and provides us with valuable oil that we need for our transportation and our food system. It's a depleting source, it's a vulnerable source, and it's also a source of much division in our country and in this chamber. The second major grid could be characterized as emanating primarily from the Northwest, but it's the electric power grid. And it's a grid that is in place. It's built, and it travels at the speed of light. And it is desperately in need of an infusion of energy. This bill, this resolution, I should say, simply states that we are in a unique position to consider alternative energy sources, and that among those, a priority should be hydrogen. Because hydrogen in the Northwest is plentiful. It's the most plentiful element in the world. And in Oregon and in the Northwest, the potential is almost unlimited. This resolution asks you to focus on this and asks our state to make it a priority to let's work towards a hydrogen economy. This spring, if you go up to the Columbia River and you stand there on the banks for less than 4 minutes, enough potential hydrogen power will pass before you to power all the cars and all the trucks in this nation in just 4 minutes. That's the potential hydrogen has. So you say, Representative Gilliam, who are you so wise in the ways of hydrogen? I'm not. You'll find many more articulate engineers and scientists on the issue of hydrogen than I. But you won't find anybody more excited about the potential that it holds for our region. And that's why the resolution. You can't do things by yourself, and you certainly can't do things by yourself in this body. And I'm very grateful to the chair for helping me with this bill. I'm also indebted to the co-founder of the Northwest Hydrogen Alliance, Jack Robertson. Jack Robertson and I met in our days on Capitol Hill working for Senator Hatfield, and Jack went on to a career at Bonneville Power Administration, and since retiring from there, founded the Northwest Hydrogen Alliance. And I will confess that he has been my mentor in this subject. And he is, and beside Representative Schaffler, he has been extremely helpful. And I want to point out, on your desk today, I circulated some testimony. There's a little sheet on the front, Mr. Speaker, that has a little publicity about this, but the meat of this is in the testimony that we heard from Mr. Robertson, and there's 9 pages that I urge you in the next couple of days to read, because you will catch the excitement and the potential that hydrogen holds for us. I also would note that perhaps while we were in caucus, a colleague decided to decorate mine, and I appear, in mine anyway, with a mustache and a blackened tooth. I am undeterred by this, partly because this is how I appeared before being appointed to this body, and because anything that will bring attention to the potential that hydrogen has to get us off the grid that comes from Saudi Arabia and on the grid that is at our fingertips in the Northwest, I believe to be a positive. So anything that gets you to read this testimony makes me very happy.
Further discussion, Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Colleagues, I rise today in support of this resolution, and I'm very pleased to co-sponsor House Resolution 1 with the good representative from Oregon's Christmas Tree District. I just had to read that. This is a resolution which greatly complements the work of this body in promoting renewable energy, and we will have several other bills this session that will reinforce the discussions that we had in the House Energy and Environment Committee about the importance of resolutions like this. We need to send the message to Congress that this is an important first step in, as you've already heard from my good colleague, in weaning ourselves off of foreign oil and making Oregon and the United States more energy independent. So we have abundant resources right here. I urge your support for this, and I'm looking forward to working further with my good colleague from the Christmas Tree District. And you may be the new odd couple here, since I'm missing the former representative from Sublimity, but I think there's hopes that we could form right here the new odd couple of Oregon. So appreciate all his hard work on this legislation, on this resolution.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
I just wanted to say that our friend from Oregon's Christmas Tree District has greatly yet generously overstated my role in this resolution, but I must say I definitely am complete support of it. And in the interim, I was on Representative Smith's Ag and Natural Resource Committee. We toured a company in Bend that's doing a bunch of research on this and actually creating hydrogen power cells right now. And it has great hope and great future, and I just urge all of you to vote yes. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Gilliam, do you wish to close?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank Representative Schaffler and certainly Madam Chair from the Energy and Environment Committee and all the members of the committee for making this possible today. I will gladly become part of an odd couple because it shows what unites us. There is a great deal that divides us, and I don't need to delineate that this morning. But this is something I believe that can unite us. Unite us in something that is for the future. Unite us in something that is for alternatives to our vulnerability in the Middle East. Unites us in something that's good for our environment, something that takes advantage of our resources, and something that helps us build jobs that are important and sustainable in our region. I am not talking about something 20 years from now. We are right on the edge of the technology to make this happen, and we can crack hydrogen out of water, burn it absolutely cleanly, store it much more cheaply than we've stored in the past, and generate, not just provide hydrogen cells, but generate electricity that will give a surge to our power grid already in place that will give us power and independence for the future. I appreciate very much your attention to this resolution,
And I do urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion the resolution should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Burley, how do you vote? Burley votes aye. House Resolution 1, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 2 relating to sexual orientation and discrimination.
Bill read first time has passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 40 relating to Telecommunication Devices Access Program. Senate Bill 41 relating to assistance for low-income telephone customers. Senate Bill 42 relating to adult foster homes and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 194 relating to reconsideration of determination made by Employment Department. Senate Bill 304 relating to definitions for secure transactions. Senate Bill 305 relating to trust. Senate Bill 330 relating to intrastate compact for resource sharing.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 99 relating to forest land urban interface fire protection.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 99A. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 99A revises the existing forest land urban interface fire protection program and a series of small changes to the Oregon Forest Urban Interface Fire Prevention Act of 1997. It authorizes the state forester to enter into cooperative agreements with local government, homeowner associations, and multiple landowners. It allows landowners a two-year time period to comply with minimum standards, revises provisions related to county community hearings on proposed designations and classifications. It modifies the state forester authority to designate and classify forest land urban interface if not made by the county. It limits the state forester to providing notice of applicable minimum standards no more frequently than once every 5 years, and adds a question related to the forest urban interface lands to the seller property disclosure statement. Thank
you. Further discussion, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Honorable colleagues, you're subject to $100,000 liability. I want to get your attention. 5 sessions ago, we passed Senate Bill 360. The purpose of this act was to prevent the loss of homes during large wildfire events. The original Senate Bill 360 required the Board of Forestry to develop standards which landowners are to then apply on their properties and which are designed to minimize or mitigate wildfire hazards and risk. Liability to the state for the reimbursement of certain fire suppression costs up to a maximum of $100,000. Implementation of this bill was to take place county by county on a priority basis and was based upon the risk of fire and the number of homes which are exposed. I represent a district which has a great threat to fire. In a typical county, implementation may take 3 to 4 years, and we have fully implemented the process in Deschutes and Jackson County. Implementation is currently underway in additional 9 counties, and we'll have secured funding but not yet started on 5 counties. Colleagues, I worked on this for a couple of years on what's called the Vacant Lot Task Force because we had questions in Deschutes County about vacant lots. All these have been addressed. If you'll notice in there, homeowner associations, they're not really exempt, I think, if you read this. They have to have a plan, and that plan is reviewed by the Department of Forestry to be sure it complies to this. So it's a good bill, a lot of work on it, and it does help reduce fire danger, especially in my county. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Burley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield? He does.
Thank you, good representative from Josephine County. In the original bill, on page 7,
lines 24 and 25, said that before selling any land with a forest land urban interface, the owner of the land must inform the buyer of the minimum standards applicable to the land under this section. Those two lines were removed by amendment and are not present in this current Senate Bill 99A. Why were those two lines taken out?
Thank you, good representative from Bend. That question was discussed at length in the committee. In fact, that was the primary issue, was this particular language. And what we did was we amended that language by eliminating line 24 and 25 on page 7 and replaced it with a question which is on the seller's disclosure form. And so in the A and Gross Senate Bill 99 form, page 15, if you look at lines 32 and 33, there is a question on the seller's disclosure form that says, has the property been classified as forest land urban interface? And it is incumbent upon the seller to disclose whether or not that land is on that program. And if they do not, then the owner would be held liable for failure to properly disclose information that was appropriate to that piece of land.
Well, thank you very much for that answer. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I cannot overemphasize the importance of this measure, and for that matter, Senate Bill 360, as was referred to earlier. I've traveled all around the West. I've gone to the Bitterroot Valley in Montana after the large wildfires up there. I've been to Denver after the Hayman fire. I've been down to San Diego and seen what the effects of the Cedar fire did. And I can assure you folks, we have some very, very real threats in the state of Oregon, from Sisters to Lapine, throughout eastern Oregon and much of southern Oregon. And everything we can do, the Department of Forestry is doing a great job. We're doing a good job here by supporting these things. But this is really important, and you may wonder, why did this committee spend so much time working on this notification issue? Because think about this. We've got a lot of folks moving into Central Oregon, a lot of folks moving into the Lapine area, and they're coming here from areas, who knows where, maybe, you know, Pennsylvania or Florida or California, wherever, and they may not have the appreciation for the risk, and it's real. So I think it's important, and I'm very glad that we got this clear. People are okay with this amendment, but it's important that people realize when they're buying these properties, there are some liabilities, there are some responsibilities that they have to know going into that transaction. So I thank you very much for this. It's a great piece of legislation, and I certainly urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carry yield?
Yes, I do.
He does.
Thank you, good representative. And I'm sorry for not getting this question to you ahead of time. In my legislative district, where we have our urban and rural fire interface, there are some issues with duplication between the state forester and a rural fire protection district. Does this bill do anything to kind of untangle that duplication?
Representative from Corvallis and Falmouth, 1 minute. It is my belief that no, this bill does not address that conflict.
Okay, thank you. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a very good bill that I hope passed. I became interested in this issue about a year and a half ago when there was a reclassification of the lands in my legislative district. About 2,500 landowners learned that they were newly classified as a forest fire, as part of a forest fire protection district. This is not just an issue in eastern Oregon or central Oregon. For all of us across the state of Oregon, as our urban growth boundaries grow, as our cities and our towns grow, we are encroaching into areas that are forested. It's very essential that we support these programs. There are safety hazards to the people that live there and to our land. So thank you very much, and I hope that you'll support the bill.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Maurer, do you wish to close?
No.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, how do you vote? Lim votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 99A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next Senate bill.
Senate Bill 307, relating to domestic relations.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 307. Representative Flores.
Sorry for the delay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 307 corrects a number of inconsistencies and outdated language found in existing family law statutes. And here is a brief synopsis. Currently, judgment remedies for family support obligations may be renewed if they are due 10 years after the judgment of dissolution was entered, but cannot be renewed if due less than 10 years after entry. This bill would remove this distinction and allow renewal of the judgment in both circumstances. Attorney fees are presently available in a custody proceeding under the Family Abuse Prevention Act, but not in a modification of custody proceedings under the Abuse Prevention Act. Senate Bill 307 will make this consistent by permitting an award of attorney's fees and costs in both of these proceedings. Under existing law, only fathers are entitled to relief from certain support obligations where the minor has income available from property held by others. Senate Bill 307 will make the right to relief available to either parent. Senate Bill 307 repeals Oregon Revised Statute 106-210, which provides a remedy for illegitimacy resulting from repealed or unconstitutional state laws that voided certain biracial marriages. Because these marriages are no longer void, there is no need for a law legitimizing children of biracial marriages. Finally, Senate Bill 307 makes some grammatical, non-substantive changes to several family law statutes to update and clarify the language. Senate Bill 307 provides needed changes to our family law statutes, and I urge your yes vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? See none. Representative Flores, do you wish to close?
Thank you.
She does not. Those are opinion. The bill should pass. Vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Crummell, how do you vote? Crummell votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. Representative Kotek votes aye. And Representative Flores votes aye. Senate Bill 307, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the House? Other business of the Senate? Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you heard on second readings, we'll have a tire bill before us either tomorrow or the next day that has studs that move out and retract. I have that tire in my office. If you'd like to drop by and see a demonstration, I'd be happy to give it to you.
Further announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Cowan.
Colleagues, I sadly acknowledge the loss of another one of our fine heroes in the Iraq War. Sergeant Nick Leitner, an Army Ranger medic from Toledo, died last week at Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Nick played football at Toledo High School and loved the outdoors.
Colleagues, can we have your full attention to Representative Cowan, please?
Thank you. When he finished his time in the Army, Nick planned to return home to work with his brothers in their construction company, fish hunt, camp, and hike. He also planned to marry his girlfriend, Ginger Warfield. Nick is survived by his father and stepmother, Bill and Sherry Leitner of Toledo, brothers Joshua and Nathan Leitner, both of Toledo, and three stepbrothers, Justin, Alex, and Corey Lake.
Thank you, Representative. Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Barnhart, 10:30 a.m., Tuesday, March 27th, 2007.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand adjourned until Tuesday, March 27th, 2007 at 10:30 a.m.
Representative Barnhart moves the House adjourned until 10:30 a.m., Tuesday, March 27th, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.